Right, we are now recording. As you heard the beep sound, it means we are recording. So welcome once again. We have Lynn on the call and we have Salima on the call. Welcome, ladies. This is week six. Can you guys believe it? It's been 6 weeks already. Time just flies. All right. What do you guys want to talk about today? Why don't we have an open line today, like they sometimes do on talk radio? So what do you guys want to talk about? I don't have a list of questions, I think. I got a text from Christina, so basically sending her apology. She won't be joining us today. So I guess other people will catch up with us as we go, but let's talk. Let's move things forward. What do you guys want to talk about?
I've got something I wanted to ask about.
Good. Send it through. Salima will handle that question today. I'm not asking. Come out with it, Lynn. If I can't answer it, I'll just say, I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Let me get
No,
serious.
it's fine.
Hit me.
I
Hit
like
me.
enjoying how lighthearted you are tonight. It's cool.
Well,
So,
it's you. It's you, Lynn. You know, when we started,
yeah.
before we started recording, I was like, yeah, I'm tired, been a long day. But then, we started chatting and I'm lightening up, I'm regaining my energy. And
Okay.
so
Cool.
let's keep it that way. Don't ask me questions that are gonna throw
Okay.
my energy way back down. So just be careful.
So further, I'll go with the easy one first. I did say I sent you a WhatsApp to say I'm working on BP as you suggested. Whether you have any contacts there.
At BP. At
Yes.
BP.
Yes.
Not anymore. Not anymore. I used to have contacts at BP, but they're no longer there.
Okay, so that was an easy one.
Yeah, I'm scared of the hard one. But do we know? Let's explore this one further. Do we know who, not necessarily the person, but what position you are trying to reach out to?
I guess I'm wanting to make contact with the sustainability manager.
Sustainability manager.
Yeah, but look,
And are we able to find out who that is?
I'm sure we can. I haven't put enough effort into it. I took the easy way out and just said, let's all see.
Because sometimes, I mean, as you guys know, sometimes a simple Google search could just lead us
Yes.
directly to the person.
I know, or telephone call to the company's reception, but I didn't put enough effort in. So I will continue to do that. That leads me to the second question here. So I worked through your COPED method, which I think is brilliant, a brilliant structure for it to engage in a meeting. Something I want to ask about. I really like that tool that you've given us, the one that talks to the thinking plan.
The
Yeah?
what? The what? I'm sorry, I'm struggling to hear you a bit today. I don't know why.
Is it the thinking plan?
Oh, the thinking plan. Yes.
So I'm saying to myself, I want to approach BP, but
Yes.
instead of waiting for a meeting to go and find out what their problem is, I need to know what their problem is at the time I'm populating that thinking plan.
That's correct.
Because by doing so, one then identifies the problem.
That's correct.
Okay, so I
Because
can just leave
to
that.
agree with you, because we can't write to people and say, "Hey, somebody, I think I have something I want to discuss with you. I don't know why I want to talk to you about this, because I don't know your problem, but let's talk about it, because I want to ask you when I get there what your problem is.
Okay, so I must have interpreted the whole thing incorrectly.
Sorry?
So I must have interpreted the sequence of events incorrectly.
I don't know. Shall we look at it? Why don't we look at it and then understand what your interpretation is? Would that, no, do you think that could be helpful?
Okay, so we look at a thinking plan.
No, I don't. What do you think you may have interpreted incorrectly? The thinking plan or the meeting conversation? Which one is it?
No, I somehow thought that the thinking plan needs to have a lot more meat to it. And I think I mentioned last week as well. But look, it's fine. It's not a concern. So I just want to quickly mention what I was trying to achieve. So I want to approach the oil companies.
Uh-huh.
And just by some fluke, I came across the fact that the oil companies right now are... it's petrochemical organ companies are now producing so much plastic to try and compensate for the issues around the sale of oil. The price of oil was extremely low, and lockdown created further challenges for the oil companies. And as a result, they are producing product that's high in plastic content, and I think they sell it to the petrochemical industries.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
So that for me is an opportunity, right?
Okay.
I can't remember the numbers offhand, but 50% of what of plastics that are manufactured stays in circulation. It doesn't get recycled and it doesn't get disposed of correctly. So there's a big opportunity there.
I'm still not sure I understand.
So what I'm saying is we can appeal to one of those six, what did you call it again? Those six triggers. So we can say, as a good corporate citizen, this is your problem. So much plastic is going back. Is not. We don't get rid of 50% of plastic that of your plastic that you produce or sell on to your customers. So maybe you need to invest some money into being a good citizenship, and there's also social benefits that come from it.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you following me? With I'm not really telling the whole story. It's in relation to the EcoConnect program.
Yes. No, I am following you. I'm listening and my brain is processing the words that you are saying.
I just wanted to make sure Salima's also in on the conversation.
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
So EcoConnect is that program that looks at teaching entrepreneurs to get involved in eco-enterprises. So... Sia, that's the story.
Sounds okay. What do you want? How do you want me to respond? Is there a question there somewhere that you would like me to answer, or is there a common thought, something I can add? Which direction would you like me to go?
So I basically told you, because you're such a smart chappy, you always have these bright ideas. So that's what I want to do. And your comments around how to do it smartly will be appreciated.
I hear you. I hear you. Talk about pressure, right? I don't think the smart department is switched on today. I think it's got load shedding.
Okay. So you can. Anyway,
let me share a thought though. I'm hoping this is a thought for everyone who will be listening to this. I'm learning as well in this program, by the way, from you guys. You know, the things that you ask me, the things that you share with me, they give me insights I'd never had before. Because before, I was doing these things as just me, right? It was just me. I didn't have a smart committee around me of people that I was running these ideas by. So now, having you guys in the program, listening to your questions and your comments and your thoughts, it's not only enriching the program, it also enriches me. So I want to start with that. And it also makes me think perhaps deeper and in some cases differently about some of the things I used to think or believe or whatever before. So coming, you know, a segue then back to this question or this story you just shared, or this idea, sorry, the idea that you just shared with us, Lynn. I think what I would like to see, and I think in many ways, it's why I'm going the direction that I talked about 2 weeks ago to you guys, that, you know, I'm going the kind of the 1 year direction with future people that I'll be helping. Because one of the things I'm realizing is that some of these things would be better approached in a phased kind of process than in a direct process. I think some of the ideas we come up with, because of the layers of decision making they may require, and I'm not necessarily talking about this idea, Lynn, that you just shared. I think before I can comment specifically on this one, I may have to engage you further. It may not necessarily be for this call. It may be something we can talk about after this. And I know it's probably unfair to people, but I'm hoping what I'm about to say will still add value to people, my thinking around this. So I think sometimes some of the ideas we have would be better broken down into smaller steps or smaller ideas, even though we know that the big picture is that, but we say, you know what? What can I do with this company that actually is relevant to what I'm trying to accomplish within my business at this moment? What can I do with this company that would not require committees and committees of decision makers, but it's located within one person's area or sphere of influence, where you could reach out to one person, and because of the thinking plan that Lynn was talking about earlier, you are able to identify, again, based on a bit of research and what they are saying that they want to do and whatever the case, you can just hook something on what they are already doing, or something that aligns very closely to something that is current, that is relevant right now for them, where they may even have a budget at this moment for that thing that they are doing. So that you get in there, you add value around that, but you know that it's just step one of a strategic campaign for the bigger thing. An example of this, I mean, let's look at a guy like Elon Musk, whose big idea is to colonize Mars, the planet. He hopes that one day humans can be multi-planetary species, you know, which means some of us, you know, could move and relocate, leave Earth, go to Mars and all of that stuff. So it may not have been necessarily his thought process, but just watching some of the things he's doing or he's done, you can actually see the slow progression to Mars. Each, just one of the steps of the things he's done could have been a business of a lifetime for one person, could have been their whole life committed to that one step as a business. For instance, Tesla, the electric cars, he's got that business. And then in addition to that, he's got this massive battery factory, you know, mega, they call it a mega factory where they manufacture these massive batteries and storage systems for solar energy and all that kind of stuff. In his effort to reduce, you know, reliance on carbon and all these other things, on oil and related things. There's no relation, by the way, with this between this example and what Len was saying about oil companies. Totally no relation. It just is complete coincidence. Not only that, not only does he have this car company, he also has a rocket company called SpaceX. You know, they started with one little rocket, you know, sent it to space, of course, tested it many times, ran out of money, until he was like, this last time, this is all the money I have. If this fails, we're shutting down the business. Fortunately, that took off. I think it was after a fourth attempt. And then from there, he built a slightly bigger rocket that could go a little bit further, that has got a bit more thrust, a bit more power. I think it was Falcon 9, if I'm not mistaken. And then he combined three of these to build an even bigger rocket that could go even further. I think I may be mistaken, but I think you said the Falcon Heavy, this rocket that has got these three parts, the three Falcon 9s together make this Falcon Heavy, which I think he said it could go as far as Pluto. I don't really have my maps clearly aligned on my mind to know how far Pluto is, but I'm sure if I can ask my son, he would be happy to tell me where Pluto is. But anyway, I think I heard Elon saying that in one of the videos. The goal is to keep building enough capacity to get to Mars. But while doing that, he's making money. I mean, this year alone, I think he doubled his net worth from 30-something billion dollars, way past the 70 billion mark, close to, the last time I checked, it was around $90 billion. So his company is continuing to generate this revenue from NASA, but this is not an end game for him. Still, it's like this guy, I mean, for an ordinary entrepreneur, the things he's done could be done in multiple lifetimes, but all of these are just steps for him. The end goal is still Mars. So I'm telling this story, I'm using this analogy to say sometimes some of our goals, because they require so many heads to make a decision on it, it can frustrate us, it can frustrate you having to wait for all of these decisions to be made because they involve higher levels of decision-making, especially when some of the companies we approach are multinationals, where we know in some cases that this type of decision may not even be made in this country because our country is just a sales office. It's literally just here to sell product, service this market, but actually the impactful decisions are made, let's say, in London or America or in Holland, you know, depending, of course, on the company. So it may be a good idea in some of these cases to get in at the street level of the things they're currently executing on and hook our work on to what's already happening, what they're already doing right now, as long as, of course, this partnership is serving our goals, our desires, in the sense that it's a partnership that adds value to our business right now, whether that's monetary or resource kind of related, if you want to put it like that. So, and then from there, you kind of build the next step, because now it becomes a bit easier in that sense when you move to the next step as an insider in the company, because now you already know who's who in the business. You also get introduced to certain people within the company. And I mean, I've got quite a few examples of this. I'll use one of these examples was my relationship with Old Mutual, where I met one person who was heading their SME division. And what he was interested in at that time was how does he take their product, their small business product, meaning insurance product for small businesses. How does he take his this product for small businesses and get it to the hands of small business owners? Or how does he get an audience of small businesses? And at that time, I already had a relationship with NetBank. We were already doing these seminars with NetBank. And I had a book. You know, I had a book that was for that market. So his question and what we were doing with NetBank, there was already an alignment there because I was already addressing these audiences. NetBank is a, Old Mutual, the parent company for NetBank at that time, at least I don't know about now. And so there's no conflict of interest there for them. At the same time, I have a book. Even if they didn't come to partner with me with NetBank, they could have just partnered with me as the author of the book, right? In which case I got, so it made sense to both sides that there's a synergy here. We could both benefit from this. But then we started with that in one city, which was Cape Town. But then within the broader Old Mutual, there are other divisions, there are other departments, there are other people who also sell other things where this market could be relevant for them. And they may, I think it was called retail affluent. I could be mistaken, of course, where they were looking just beyond just small businesses, but they were looking at a certain affluent individual, meaning some business owners who are, have a bit of money. And of course, people who have got slightly larger businesses, who have got employees who are managers and executives who are the affluent type market, you know? So there was that whole thinking around that. So then my partner in the SME department then linked me up with these people to say, hey, we're doing this thing. You guys would, you know, I don't know how that conversation went, but the long and short of it, the people from the other division wanted to engage to see if we can't just take this beyond, if we can't take this partnership beyond just Cape Town, which is where NetBank and I were doing this, and take it national to other cities, which is what resulted in us touring South Africa with these events. But then that didn't end there. Another division, because you get introduced in passages. And I think the point I'm driving to is the importance of getting in at the right level, getting in the right way. You know what I mean? Where your approach, it just clicks, it just makes sense for them. It's timely, it's relevant. The idea that you are bringing, it's in line with their focus right now. Then they're like, we need to talk because it's so, everything is just click, 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 click. You get in because once you are in, now you can grow from the inside, right? You can grow from the inside with your bigger picture ideas. So I've been thinking about this. I'm bringing it up because I've been thinking about it. And in a strange kind of way, as I was listening to Lynn, even though there's no direct relevance, it just literally connected. It just made me remember this thought when she said, you know, right now they're making these plastic products. And in my mind, I was thinking, if this is the strategy of the whole BP group globally to focus on these things, that decision clearly, I would guess that it probably came from London or somewhere, not from South Africa. South Africa was just informed, you guys, we're going to send you these products, go sell them. Again, I'm over exaggerating on or oversimplifying this. But it's something they may not have that much influence other than the company's focus right now is to recover some lost revenue because, again, of the lockdown, as Lynn was saying, they're probably trying to recover revenue. They've got all these raw materials that have just been sitting there. They were like, what can we make with these that we could take to the market and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which then leads me to the question that says, if that's their focus to sell these things, and I don't know the answer to the question I'm about to ask, I'm asking it because it's just me thinking about having it as a question. Then if that's their focus, they're trying to sell these, at this stage, how far down the line are they, one, foreseeing these things being a problem in the sense that they don't get recycled or properly disposed of, how they'll stay in the market? Is that, because I don't know what the products are these like plastic bottles, for instance, where we already know the impact, they'll be disposed today, right? Or are these like things that are larger and bigger where they may not be disposed for months or for years or whatever the case, where the environmental impact of how those things get disposed is like a can that has been kicked so far down the road that because people are focusing on generating revenue right now by selling these things, they're not worrying themselves about it right now, such that any conversation that talks about, you know, environment and as it relates to this product that they are currently trying to sell, may be a conversation they would rather not even have, that they would rather mute themselves or block their ears because their focus is, we just want to recover billions of pounds by selling, you know, these things. Again, these are questions, right? Brainstorm. These are some of the things that were coming basically to my head when Lynn was talking. That's why I was saying, I'd like us to unpack this a bit further to say, what are these products perhaps? When can it be felt? What would be the benefit for BP to want to have a conversation of this nature right now? Would it align with their current focus and their current goals, which I'm pretty sure it's about revenue? Is this something that would help them to achieve that goal right now? Or is it something that may bring unwanted attention to them if they can enter the conversation? And if maybe it is something they would rather not have as a conversation, are we approaching them because we think, well, because you guys don't want to talk about this, you are in many ways shooting yourselves in the foot. Let me show you why we should talk about this so that you could prepare for what might come as a result of burying your head in the sand. Because that also could be a case that could be made. Again, these are all the weird and strange thoughts that were going through my mind as Lynn was talking. Lynn, am I talking on the same level you were talking about this?
Yeah.
Let's talk further. So your chance to comment on what I've just said.
So often one, you know, in a large corporate, especially when stuff is going down and there may be issues that arise in the company as a result of this kind of thing coming out, you know, it's best always to be prepared for that. Now, I'm thinking if BP, for example, puts out a booklet like the Nivea example you used previously, if they put out a little booklet talking to two potential target audiences, and that is to maybe high school children and secondly to matriculants. Those who have just completed it, or maybe undergraduates from university, to talk about potential business opportunities. Now, there's a big market overseas where people are already doing things with plastic. They're actually creating energy from they're producing it and converting it to energy. Now, if we can collaborate then with various people from overseas, we'd be advertising what they do here. So maybe there's a bit of a revenue flow from that side. To get content into this little booklet. And I'm also just thinking as we're going along here. And then BP can kind of endorse it, which puts them in a good light with these and environmental activists and all of those kinds of things. So that's just a thought.
It's a good thought. It's a good thought. And let me then comment. I think also maybe there's a bit of a bias on my side because I love information products. So every time somebody who sees that week four says, oh, I watched this and I got an idea for a booklet around my area. of expertise. I like that. Part of the reason, apart from just my bias, of course, as a researcher and a writer and somebody who just loves words and information, another thing is that what I like about these books and booklets and information products is that they're easy to sell in relative terms. Easy, of course, is relative, right? They're relatively easy to sell. You don't need a lot of, you don't need big committees to be sitting in the boardroom to make a decision that we're going to spend 500,000 Rand on this. These are decisions that are made by managers in divisions. And they can literally single-handedly make the decision as one person. And another thing about these is that it's your thing, it's your product, which means they don't own it. It's not their booklet. So like what, I guess I wanted to quickly touch on that, Lynn, when you said, if they create a booklet. So it's not their booklet, it's your booklet that you will create. And then you say to them, hey guys, I'm doing this, because the message is really that I'm doing this with or without you, which again puts you in that beautiful posture position, you know, when you go to negotiate a partnership where you're like, well, this is what we are doing, meaning that we don't need you in order to do this. We are doing this already with or without you, but we think there could be a benefit for you in hooking yourself onto us. You know, so now by them putting their logo on it, by them giving you money and purchasing so many booklets to be given away to schools and whatever, all they're doing is sign a check. But you do everything for them. They are literally just hopping on your vehicle. You know, easy vehicle to create, just ideas, which is brilliant. And it serves the purpose of them positioning themselves positively and putting out there a great story that can be aligned, or that can be associated. I think that's the word I was looking for. That can be associated to them, even though it's your words, it's your booklet, it's this, it's this and that. So they can be seen to be doing something to help whatever the content, of course, of the booklet, to help the young people, the students, or whatever the case. So I love those types of things, not just booklets, but I love these things that are kind of easy in. Let me say that. Easy, that make it easy for you to get in. Let me put it that way. Yeah, that make it easy for you to get in, so that once you are in now, you get introduced to all these people in various levels within the organization. And then they get to experience your brilliance, your ideas, and now you grow within. Because once you're a partner on one thing, no matter how small it is, you become so important to that company that, you know, now you become one of us. Sometimes I used to forget at Old Mutual that I didn't work there. You know, sometimes I'd be visiting for a meeting, flying in from Cape Town, coming to the Sentinel office. And let's say I'm done with my meetings and my last meeting was there, but my flight is like 5 or 6 hours away. And then I'd be given like an office or a meeting room to work from and be shown where the kitchen is and where this and this, this and that. And I'd roam around all by myself, completely forgetting that I don't even work there. You know, such becomes that relationship, you know, as a partner, you become just, you know, one of us, you know. And I think more than anything, in summary, basically, I want to say to you guys, I would love for you to just get in to these companies. Just get in, you know, sometimes with ideas that are not so big, just sometimes ideas that are small, you know, in relative to your other ideas, which you guys have really big ideas, just get in, you know, and ideas that are timely, ideas that are kind of topical for that business at this moment, you know, for whatever reason, and ideas where decisions can be made quicker. Because the sooner you guys can actually get some results with this, whether make some money out of these, get companies to say, yeah, let's do this, let's partner, the sooner that happens, you will see how that will change your whole outlook on these things, how it will change your whole energy around these things, you know, because now your whole world changes in a number of ways. One, it's nice to get a deal for sure, especially if there's money involved. You make a bit of money, but it's nice, right? Two, it's a giant step, you know, one small step I can't remember that whole quote, right? One small step for man, a giant leap for mankind. Yeah, it may seem like one small step just to get in, but it's a giant leap for the future of your business, because now you are in as a partner with this multi-billion rand entity, and now you've got somebody who's going to hold your hand in these corridors and knock at people's office doors and say, hey, I want you to meet Lynn. Hey, I want you to meet Salima. Have you met Salima? This is what she does. No. You know, those connections, you know, and I can't tell you how many companies I've been literally held by the hand down the passage to go meet the head of that, and all of these people have got bright smiles. Oh my goodness, Sia, we need to talk, right? And that leads to the next deal. And that is what I would love to see for you guys. So, anyway, again, I like to keep going on tangents today. What is wrong with me?
No, nothing. It's lovely to hear the stories because it makes it so real. For me, I feel like, oh, I'm so intimidated by all these people already. But you saying that it's not like that. It's just they're people and they'll connect with you because you're talking the same language as them.
Totally. Totally, Salima. And you know what? Again, sorry to just keep jumping in, because everything you guys say, it just triggers something for me. Yeah. And I want to quickly add something on it. So another thing I want to quickly add on this, sometimes part of why we become intimidated, not all the time, sometimes part of why we become intimidated is that we've got these big ideas, right? And in many ways, we don't have all the steps figured out. In some ways, our expertise don't go all the way to the end result. So our expertise goes a little bit, but beyond a certain point, we probably are going to need to grow ourselves. So it kind of brings in a bit of intimidation when you think, gee, I'm going to be sitting in a boardroom talking to these people about this big idea that's going to change their company. What if they keep throwing me all these questions that I may not be able to answer using that corporate job, all that crazy stuff that these boardrooms talk about, right? So then I want to suggest that maybe let's walk some of these things back to within the frame of our greatest expertise, because every single one on this call, everybody who's will be listening to this, even people who are not here, what I like about all of you guys is that there are areas, because of your experiences, your life experiences, and your smarts and your brilliance and your passions, all of you, there are things that you are so good at, like that you can talk about them. If somebody said, come give a 2-hour talk about this topic, you would be tap dancing to the stage to talk about it because you know it so well. Mm-hmm. So one of the ideas that I want to suggest is that perhaps some of our initial outreaches to these corporates, we test them. We take baby steps, if you like, by looking for things that are within our sphere or our frame of current expertise, so that we can gain that confidence by playing in our home ground, meaning in our area of expertise, where we could talk in any meeting because we know so much about this area or this field or this space, that it almost feels like a home ground advantage when we talk about this, because people are actually curious to listen to us and look at us and see us shine because we know so much and we've got a great idea that we know, of course, is going to work because we are smart, we are experienced, and we know that everybody else has been getting it wrong. It doesn't actually have to be even that way that everybody's getting it wrong, but it's just something that you feel very strongly about, and you know that if this company does this, it will change their life. In some cases. We work for companies sometimes, and you are running projects, you are heading a department, you're running a shop, you're doing whatever you're doing for them. And there are things that they are doing, that this company is doing, and you're like, these guys, I wish they could see that this is a mistake, because companies make mistakes. We know that. You kind of wish, you're like, oh my goodness, I wish they would listen to me, because if they could do this slightly differently, they would actually make more money. I'll use that example some of you guys may have heard of, the Johnson & Johnson baby powder. I don't know. Of course, it's one of those legendary stories, right? That get told in different versions. So I'll give you one of the versions because I don't know if it's true or not. So the story goes, the executives at Johnson & Johnson are looking at their annual figures. You know, they're about to announce their results. And what they're seeing is that their baby powder sales are dropping. And they are scratching their heads. Oh, what do we need to do? Why are our sales of baby powder dropping? What are we missing? And there's this lady, the tea lady, who keeps coming in to bring them tea in the boardroom and walk out. And then one of the trips that she's making, after she puts the tea, you know, in the boardroom for them, you know, she kind of overhears them asking this question in frustration. What are we missing about this baby powder sales? How can we change it? And then as she was about to walk out of the boardroom, she turns around and says, sorry, sir, I don't mean to speak out of place, but can I say something about the baby powder? Right? And, you know, the senior executives turned around, and the CEO, the chairman, they were like, what? Where did that voice come from? And then one of the people was gracious enough saying, oh, of course. You know, what do you want to say? She's like, well, I think I may have an idea as to why your sales are dropping. Because I'm a grandmother, and my daughter, I've been raising my daughter's kids. I've been helping my daughter raise her kids. And one of the things I realize is that the baby powder, the Johnson & Johnson baby powder, has become a bit of a problem to use because the holes are so tiny at the top that every time you try to squeeze out, if you are in a humid kind of environment, those pores, they clog very easily. So the powder doesn't come out. So it becomes when you're trying to change a baby, she's screaming and you're changing a nappy and all of these things are going on. And you're fighting with this baby powder that's not giving out powder. You just throw it out there. And then when you go to the shop next time, you look for a baby powder container that has got bigger holes. So that's what I think. I don't know, right? I don't know if that happened. Everyone was like, oh my goodness. Since we changed the design of the container, this is the trend is already showing us that this is when our sales are declining. And indeed, they took our advice. They opened up the holes. They punched a few more holes. And the sales picked up again. They started seeing quarters and quarters and years of sales going up. Are you guys with me on this one? Are you following this story? Yes.
So it's about looking at the ground level. What are the problems that big company is facing?
In some cases, that's it. For me, I mean, with the JSE, it was one story in the newspaper. And it was something that I knew that it's not rocket science. I was already thinking about a book, and I had enough confidence in myself to know that I can write a book. I'd never written one, but I know I can write it. And And it just, for me, it just clicked because I was like, ah, oh, where are these guys? Where these guys can help me is that they will be able to introduce me to these executives, which is because the problem was that I was looking for people to bring into the book, right?
Oh, right.
So anyway, what I wanted to wrap up with that Johnson & Johnson story, which kind of is relevant for us, is that imagine that lady had left Johnson & Johnson without sharing that idea with them. Let's say she goes, she retires. And then as she's sitting at home, she's like, I wonder who else can use my idea. Let's say there's a competitor that also has a similar design with those little holes where the mothers and the grandmothers get frustrated when they try to use the product. And then she writes to those people out of the blue and say, hey guys, I've got an idea that I think may help you boost your baby powder sales. Would you be interested in talking to me? Right? And the baby powder department says, okay, we do want to sell more baby powder. What is the idea? Then she goes to them, says, well, you know, I'd like you guys to you take my idea and test it and use it. I'd like you to pay me a bit of money up front for this if you adopt it. And also when you start to see your sales picking up, I'd also like you to pay me a small piece of that pie because it would have proven that my idea was right. Would you guys be open to that? They're like, okay, we will be, because she hasn't told them what the idea is yet. She seals this deal because once she reveals the cat is out the bag, you know, it may be hard for her to do a deal here. They sign and whatever the case. And then boom, they say, sound like a great idea. They try it. Boom, it works. Within 3/4 of the year, sales pick up and they're like, wow, that lady was right. We opened those holes in the baby powder and it's starting to take off. But where am I going with this? Where I'm going with this, finally, is that sometimes some of our, these ideas don't have to be so life-changing, so earth-shaking, because some of the problems we solve are problems that people are going to bed with day in, day out. And we probably take these for granted because we're like, but everybody should know the answer to that. The same way I thought before this year, everybody knew how to do partnerships until recently I found out that people don't, you know, and yeah, anyway. So does that, Lynn, you've got your hand up. I think we must, hey, Anthea, welcome in.
Hello, everyone. Sorry that I'm so late. Just had a crisis today.
Sorry about that. But better late than never. We appreciate you being here despite everything that went down today. You and I, let's set up a call next week. So now that I've got you here, please.
Yes, please.
Let's touch base on WhatsApp. Let's set up a time to chat next week. I'd love to do that with you. So I'm bringing it up so that we are both accountable for making it happen. So I hope you'll help me. Please, let's try and make it happen.
In fact, I want to give you a call like after this. I wanted to send you a message after this call.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. No. It definitely means then we need to talk. So okay. we'll arrange a time on WhatsApp and then next week we'll jump on a call and have a chat.
Okay.
Cool stuff. Thank you. Thanks, Anthea. Lynn, you had your hand up, so I would like to recognize you.
Okay. Yeah, so as we were chatting and one idea led to another idea, the single biggest challenge that I have all the time is working in isolation. So when you're part of a collective, that once the energy starts flowing, people tend to contribute and the idea just gets more refined and more refined and more ideas come. Yeah, so I just wanted to say that, and I'm wondering if the other ladies find the same thing.
Yes, it is that, Lynn. It's about finding the energy flow, and you're right. When you talk to other people, that think similar to you, then you kind of get energized. I find that happens a lot of times. I'm quite grateful that I have a nephew that's quite entrepreneurial, and we kind of bounce off ideas off each other. And that's how we finding a way to actually just stay focused in what we need to be doing. But you're right, it's a real problem when you're working on your own and it's your own little baby that you're working with. I think it, you need somebody else there to actually help you to push it along. Mm. Even if they're not involved in your project.
And even to say, no, that's a silly idea. You know, we're just finding, once finding your way with what you're wanting to do. And
yes,
I find that I need affirmation from, you know, now and again.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm actually struggling with everything at the moment. And I come on every week because I need to do this. But I know that I'm struggling with it in the sense that I'm way behind everybody else. But I'm not worried about that because I know that eventually I will get to where I need to be, just for the fact that I'm coming every time. And every time I listen to the stories and I listen to the input, it actually shifts my thinking that, yes, something can be done somewhere. And also going through the plan and having that one sentence business plan, that all gives me the focus that I need. It's just that I'm not where I really need to be with the program right now, but that's not the issue. The thing is that it's finding the connection to a project or to a company that's in line with what I really want to do. And I think that takes a lot and lots and lots of research.
Wow, guys. But by the way, I agree with both of you. I struggle with that too. Imagine, right? I do. Especially now, because I don't get together with my team as often. And I'm just an ideas person. You know, like most of you as entrepreneurs, we tend to come up with ideas. It's almost like ideas a day, right? Mm-hmm. And then we got all hyped up when the idea is fresh. It sounds like this brilliant new thing. And then 3 days later, you're like, it feels a bit stale and it feels like it needs work. And then guess what? A new idea pops up. So, Anthea, I've got you there. But before I come to you, Anthea, I just want to say, I just want to comment on what Salima was saying. And maybe what I'm about to say may help. A few things. One is, one of the things I've learned through this program, since I started with the first people in June, one of the things I've been learning is that when people come here, when people sign up for this, they are, sorry? Oh, okay. So when people sign up for this, what I've learned now, because I look at the trends, you know, from the beginning up to now, I'm seeing that people naturally, right? People are at different stages in their respective journeys. Some people they've been in business for a few years. They've been working on projects in some cases. Some people have actually been trying to do partnerships without it being a focal thing to say, oh, we're trying partnerships. But they've been reaching out to companies, trying to get their products in stores in some cases. Mm-hmm. A variety of
exactly.
things. And then they discovered me just in the nick of time. And then they signed up for this. The moment I gave them week one, I mean, I'm talking about a real case, by the way. Somebody said, when I gave that exercise on week one, of the 20 companies and whatever, he had a booklet of already companies in his field, like key companies that, you know, he never thought of reaching out. He pulled out the booklet, he wrote down those names, and within 2 days, because he reached out to me, and because he was a bit ahead of everybody, because he was just pacing. He got his week three, the email, I think it was week two, yes. He got his week two, because in week three we were unpacking the the draft email. By week two, he wrote his draft email for all those companies. And he sent, in one day, he emailed all of them. There were 20 of them, 17 of them responded. Within a month, he closed a deal with Spar to supply 147 stores with his product, because that was the missing piece for him. You know, he's been banging his head against the wall, not knowing how to go about it. He knew he had this product, wanted it in stores, didn't know how to do it. And then he came into this program, and that the missing piece that he, that the one thing he needed, he just grabbed it and ran with it. Within a month, he got a result. So that's like the other end of the spectrum, you know? But then the other, so the opposite end of the spectrum is that you guys, you know, some of you guys were minding your own business before I interrupted you with this idea, right? You were minding your own business. You were living your life. And then I come out of the blue and I'm saying, hey, corporate partnerships. And then not only that, I bombard you with information week in, week out. And you are trying to find your way to catch your breath. You're like, okay, who should I be partnering with? Which, because you are not there at that stage. You are not thinking about that. So every week I'm giving you these exercises you have to catch up with. All of a sudden, it starts to feel a bit overwhelming, because you're like, I'm still trying to find out what I need to partner for, who I need to partner with, which is week one. Now, all of a sudden, we're in week three, we're talking about writing a letter, sending it to them. You know, before you figure that out, I'm like, whoa, do you know what to say when you get to a meeting? So let me say this.
Exactly that.
I totally understand, because you are not the first, and I'm glad you said this on record, because I want this to record. You're not the first person, by the way, Salima, to feel that way. Some people reached out to me privately and said, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm so far behind. Of course, for a variety of reasons. Other people had life, the personal life issues that they were trying to deal with. So before they know it, a week passes, 2 weeks pass, and all of a sudden they feel like they're behind the group. Other people, they still trying to understand week one. Then there's week two, and there are these exercises where they have to contribute and send information back, draft emails, and have us review them. So all of that stuff was happening a bit too fast for some people. And you know what the advice I gave them? I said to them, remember, this is not a program where we've got a beginning and an end, and there's an exam. It's not like a university program where there's this schedule of, so read your books, prepare for the exam because the exam date is set. What this is a lifetime skill. What I'm trying to do here, I'm trying to impart to you guys something that has really helped me a lot for many years. And the fact that there's a 6 week where I'm giving you information, it's not because that information has to be given over 6 weeks, not at all. It's just that it's a vehicle I've chosen to transfer information to you. It's basically just transference of data. You know, when your computer is transferring data to your external hard drive, it may take a minute, right? In my case, I decided to transfer information from my hard drive to your hard drive over 6 weeks. But it doesn't mean that you are on the clock to keep up with the transference of information. So what I said to the people that reached out to me, I said to them, go back to week one. I said, drop everything you're doing. Forget week four. Forget where we are right now. Go back to week one. Take it easy. Make yourself a cup of tea. Relax. Listen to that material. Pause it. Make your notes. No pressure. Forget the group. This is not a group. Everybody who's here is here for their business. You are on your journey, your path, your journey, your lane, your pace, okay? Your race. So you know, don't feel any pressure. You're running your own race. This is your life. This is your business. I've transferred this information to you. Yours is to take all the time you need to consume it, to digest it at your pace, knowing that I'm just a call away. So So don't pressurize yourself. Also, another thing to keep in mind is that this is a lifetime skill that I'm transferring to you, which means you still have another 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 100 years that you're going to be living and where you're going to be doing business. So what is 6 weeks? Why pressurize yourself over 6 weeks for something that is going to serve you for the next 100 years? Why not take your time to fully master this material? And then at your pace, in a way that makes sense to you, you implement it. Practice. If it takes a year to fully practice these things and master them, what is a year in the if you compare it to the next 50 years of your life, right? So don't run out of breath trying to keep up with this. It was just my pace of trying to transfer information to you guys and also trying to balance that against the fact that there are people who needed this, who would have preferred me to give this in one day, all of it, so that they could go from A to Z, like the guy that I was talking to you guys about. I had to release week five and week six for him while everybody was still on week three, because he already had meetings lined up, you know, and he was like, see, I need to get a script. What do I say when I get to that meeting? So I had to release those things for him. So, you know, so I hope this makes sense, guys. Do you want to quickly comment on that, Salima? And then I'll go to Anthea.
Yes, thanks, Sia. I think that's wonderful that you said that we need to be at our own pace. And I realize that because each time we did a class and then we looked at the workbook, and then I think on the last week, you went back and you said, give me all the emails and the email, you know, all the companies that you want to contact. So you went back starting right from the beginning again. And I've actually worked through the process, and I found that by doing that, I'm actually feeling a bit more structured. But I haven't come to the level where we're on level 5 or level 6. But like you're saying, it actually doesn't matter right now. As long as we're finding our feet and we're finding where it is that we really want to be. Because I've found 35 companies.
Wow. That's brilliant. And these are companies that were not in your radar before we started the
program. Exactly. Yes, exactly.
So that's progress. That actually is progress. So even as you guys struggled through some of these concepts, where you feel like what Lynn was saying about ideas and, you know, not having everything that is bringing resistance to your life as you work through this, it's basically, it's almost like going to gym. You know, when we go to gym for the first time, you know, every little weight we pick up feels a bit heavy, right? Because it's resistance. And then as we go to gym, we can run a bit longer. We can lift a little bit heavier stuff than week one. So some of the things that you guys are going through right now are new experiences. And it's almost like, so you're being challenged in new ways. But the reality is that that challenge is actually developing you. Without it feeling that way, it feels like overwhelmed, because it probably is. But 2 years from now, a lot of the things that are frustrating you now are going to be easier, you know. And I'm using 2 years because it's far out, but I know someone's probably thinking, 2 years? I don't have that time, right? it doesn't have to take 2 years. I promise you, it doesn't have to. But you are getting better, you know. You will actually feel this, because that's one of the things that people are reporting to me from week one, is how they feel that they've changed, you know. So one lady was telling me that even her colleagues, because she's an executive of a company, of a large business. She's a regional executive for this large company. She says her colleagues are commenting, what has changed? Like, you are different. Even in meetings, you speak differently, right? What's going on? And she called me. She says, see, the only thing that has changed is that I've been listening to you. I've been consuming your material, and I've been having my aha moments in things that I thought I understood And all of a sudden, you bring this new perspective. I can see that shifting me. And so I think, and I've had many people reporting, even you, Salima, by the way. I think 2 weeks ago, you kind of reported something similar, that you are feeling, you know, this transformation that's going on within you. So all of these things are actually, they are transforming you, you know, probably not in ways that you are focusing on, because what you want is a deal. You want to send emails, get companies to respond, do this partnership, right? But because you're not there, it feels like you're not moving. You're like, oh, but when is this going to happen? Well, there's a lot going on inside. I can tell you that. And yes, these things are going to happen. And when they do, yes, mistakes will be made for sure. There are deals that are not going to close. I know that as much as we know that to be the truth of life, but the human mind always says, no, I want all of them to close. But the reality is that nothing ever happens that way. So we're not going to win all the deals, but other deals will just be a perfect fit when we reach out to these companies. Some of the things we bring will fit like a glove, a hand in a glove, and we're going to be different people. Totally. Once we've done the first deal, I promise you there'll be a jump in your level of belief in yourself. That's why I'm so keen and driving so hard for you guys to at least get that first deal, even if it's a small one, because I know the impact it will have on the doubts, particularly because the brain has doubts and, you know, can I do this? Oh my goodness, I don't know. It's too much. But the moment you do the first one, you know, those doubts, they start to doubt themselves. They're like, okay, well, she's doing it. She's doing it. Maybe it's going to work after all. So then those doubts, they start to shut up and give you the space to grow and be who you are, you know, building yourself to become. Yep.
Thanks, Sia. Yeah, that's most encouraging. That's exactly what it is.
Awesome. Thank you, Salima. Anthea, sorry for keeping you waiting. Over to you now.
No, I just wanted to say to Lynn, I totally agree with having a community, in essence, to talk about what the ideas that you have and to explore the ideas. I find myself, and I was actually, as you were talking, Sia, I was just smiling. Because that is what happens to me, is I get an idea and I think, okay, let me do research around it. And then, for instance, I don't find information, or I then start not trusting my gut and my idea and my creativity. And then afterwards I think, but that was the stupidest idea you've had in this day. And if you have someone that sees things a little bit differently than you, because I have this massive critic within me that like always says, but someone else has done this before, it's not worked for, you know, you're not big enough, you're not intelligent enough to run this thing. So I think Lynn, I'm very available, you know, to just think through, because I need that, and I need other people to help me to think through and to just highlight things that I'm perhaps not seeing in my myopic view.
I'd be happy if we can chat, Anthea.
Okay.
I don't know, I left my number with somebody. Maybe we can all just share our numbers. And Sia, what about a WhatsApp group? I find, look, I am 57 years old. I'm probably the oldest in this group. I started my first tourism company when I was 42.
Wow.
And as they say on the Cape Flats, I had pluck. I had no issue going to talk to anybody and insisting they must support me. You know, I was even arrogant in my approach. This is completely wrong. The point
then
is,
what happened then?
I got out.
How come you're becoming a softie? How come you're becoming a softie all of a sudden?
I think it may be menopause. I don't know what it is here, but I've just lost it completely. And I find that I just need more affirmation these days, which is terrible because that makes me so needy.
No, Lynn, you're not alone. Trust me. You guys may not believe this, but I actually need that too sometimes. No, seriously. In a weird kind of way, doing what I'm doing with you guys, in a strange kind of way, I do get affirmation from this, even though I never thought about it before. But by being able to go back in my mind and my head and remember all the things I've done and how I made them successful, and then, you know, kind of break them down and reverse engineer them and put the whole process together for somebody else to follow, and then come here and answer all these questions about it and give guidance and all that. In a strange kind of way, it's like rehab for the teacher. I never really thought about this, but now that you mentioned it, Ellen, this is affirmation for me to some extent. So, because some of the things that affirm us is remembering how good we are, you know? Because sometimes these ideas, like what Anthea was saying, sometimes you've got this idea and your the little voice in the head puts you so much down that you start to doubt your own intelligence. But then when you remember all the great things, like what Lynn said, that, you know, how she started a company at the age of 42 and she was just going after what she wanted. When you remember all the things you did, especially against all odds, you kind of remember your power. You kind of remember who you really are deep down, you know? So I think you guys need to talk, of course. It helps to connect and all that, but also remember who you are. Remember your when you are at your strongest, and you really kicked ass and actually made things happen. Because all of us have those moments. Because really, when we go there, sometimes what I've been doing over the years, reading reviews of my books from people, like emails. Somebody sending me an email. Oh my God, I read your book. This is what I did. It changed my life. I used to have like a file with those. I don't know what happened to it. And I would read these things. I'm like, wow, this is me? I'm like, this is me? This is what the stuff I created has done. Somebody said, your book is right next to my Bible. I read it every night and I became a millionaire by following some of the ideas that are in your book. I'm like, okay, I better go read my book. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to say, guys. Answering your question, Lynn, a WhatsApp group. I kind of personally, when I was thinking about our groups like this, I decided against it completely for me. You guys can form a group. But for me, I've never really been a fan of WhatsApp, just to tell you guys. I only got on WhatsApp, I think 2 years ago, because after I got married and I was missing out on information, and my wife was like, we've got a family group, I think you need to be in it. And whenever there are things going on, you miss out. And like, okay, fine. So I ended up getting back on WhatsApp. So it's the only group I'm in. It's the family group, literally. That's the only group I'm in. And then this year I started, during the lockdown, was the first time I actually started using WhatsApp for business. Because I spoke to all of you guys from the get-go on WhatsApp. It just became convenient because my assistant was away from the office. I was here. So to have to wait for her to be arranging meetings from a distance, it just drove me nuts. And I thought, let me just talk to people, right? Let me just text them directly. Before I even get out of bed, I can set up my meetings, confirm my meetings myself. WhatsApp helped me in that sense. And then I just stuck with it. It's actually a business tool now, almost. Everybody on my WhatsApp is either a lead or an existing client or something like that. But I don't have any the way people use WhatsApp. So the whole group thing, I really thought about it, to be honest with you. But I was like, no, I don't want to have this thing pinging all day long. from all these groups of people I'm working with. It will drive me nuts. But yeah, I think for this purpose that you guys are talking about, if you guys want to form a group, even if it's not the whole group of, it's not everybody in our group, you know, you guys can form your own group and just talk among yourselves. I'm totally okay with that. But these are my reasons for not wanting to do it or be part of it. Nothing personal. It's just the recluse in me wanting to be left alone sometimes. So anyway, that's that, guys. I don't know what else you guys want to say. We do have a few minutes before we wrap up. Anything else that you guys want to touch on?
So, sorry, Lucia, is this the last meeting that we're having? Because it's supposed to be a 6-week program. And then after that, you said that we're going to be in touch with you with our program. Yes.
Great. Good question. Thank you, Salima, for asking. Yes, it is the last meeting, but I always kind of added the 7th week. So next week we will have a session, which will be our official. I don't know what official means, actually. Maybe this is the official one, but next week is a kind of last. So we will have a session next week. Yes. Same time, same link. We'll have our session next week on Thursday. But after that, we're not going to have these sessions. But I will be dealing with you guys one-on-one because everybody's head down on their own project. And I'm available to do that. I will be sending you guys from next week my calendar where you can book your sessions directly with me.
Yeah.
And here's the twist on that one. On the calendar, all the times that I've set up there are only 15 minutes because those meetings are implementation meetings. So you will literally book me for 15 minutes. You will send me what it is you're grappling with. We jump on the call. We break it apart. We dissect it. We put it all together in 15 minutes. And then we come to next step. What are you going to do now? Oh, I'm going to go do X, Y, and Z. That becomes now your action. Then you go execute on that. Before you book another session with me, I want my homework. I'm like, okay, last time you said you were going to do this. What have you done about it? Okay. You can have as many of those 15 minute slots as you want. It's like unlimited, except you need to account for your action for after every 15 minute meeting. How's that for pushing people forward, right?
That's a real coach.
So that's how it's going to work, guys. And of course, officially, that's how it's going to work. But I will never desert you when you need to talk to me outside of the 15 minutes, you know, because the goal is really not to be too rigid about these things. My intention is to help you. So anything that I can do that will help you, I want to do that. So, but yes, there is that structure because I think it's important to have a structure. But like I said, the goal is to assist, not to punish.
Thanks. Thank you, Sia. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you
for your time. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Thank you, Salima. Much appreciated.
Thank anything you, else? Yeah.
Thank you, Lynn.
Okay,
so you say, I just want to ask something. Sia, so you say you're not that into WhatsApp.
Sorry?
You said earlier you're not that into WhatsApp.
I'm not that into it.
Yeah. Oh, you're not, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so WhatsApp.
I'm not into groups. I'm not into WhatsApp groups, but I said, if you guys want to form it, I think you should, because then if it makes it easy for you guys to communicate among yourselves, definitely. But I'm not being antisocial. I won't join the group because I really don't do WhatsApp groups. Mm.
No, it's not about the groups here. It's just the fact, you know, when one sends WhatsApp, I understand that you're busy and all of those things, but maybe we must take this conversation offline.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay.
All righty. Okay, guys, shall we wrap it up?
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks very much, dear.
Thank you very much for the lovely session. Bye, everyone.
Always a pleasure, guys. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
Always being here. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.